Now I'm going to read tonight in John's Gospel in chapter number 10. I don't know if you have been looking and watching and thinking about where the preacher's going to go next. Maybe that doesn't bother you in the slightest. When I was a young fellow, especially when I was a young Christian after I got saved and began to have a little tiny bit of interest in the Bible and in the Word of God, especially in meetings just like this, I sometimes wondered, does the preacher give a clue? Does he indicate where he's going to go the next night? And sometimes when he'd finished reading his passage, I wondered, where's he going to go tonight? Now, Brother Dave has told you he's got a little theme in his mind. In fact, he told me today he probably knows where he's going most nights in the gospel meetings, and I don't mind that because I like to have a theme as well. And I've told you this nice new chart that I brought with me from Ireland, though it is an American chart. I'm going to preach mostly. There might be a little deviation according to the Spirit of God, mostly from the illustrations and the verses that are on the chart. We started at the beginning of the week and I preached a little tiny bit about the pillar death and the reason where it came from. The ruin and rebellion of man in the garden and how death is unnatural. But death was introduced as the penalty for sin. We went on another evening and we preached about the pointing finger and we turned the pointing finger into a person because it was the finger of John Baptist, the forerunner, who introduced the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and said, look to him. Stop looking at yourself and don't be distracted by other things. Look, he's here. He has come to take away the sin of the world. Last night we were talking about the two paths and the choices that people make in life. And it's a very strange thing, especially to young people who grow up in this kind of Christian environment, that there are people in the world today, there are people in Kamloops today, there are people in this community in Westside. And they are, by a deliberate, intentional choice, walking on the broad road. And some of them actually know that the broad road goes to hell. Yet if you stopped them on the street and said, do you know where you're going? They would say, I'm going here because of enjoyment and company. And all kinds of other things like pride. When you get to the end of the book of Revelation, there is a very terrible list about the kind of people that finish up in hell and the lake of fire. Or you say the murderers and the jihadis. And those kind of people, they come at the top of the list. No, they don't. The very first category God puts on the list of people that are lost are the fearful. People who were too frightened of their friends and maybe too frightened of their family to trust in Jesus Christ. Imagine not being saved when you know the gospel just because you're fearful of what other people might say. Not fearful of what God will say when you stand before him in the judgment day. And he said you listened to the gospel, you went to Sunday school, you had text in your bedroom, but you didn't believe because you were fearful. It's a very strange thing to my heart that there are people tonight, just like those that we have drawn here and this little man, because I like this new chart, the people have got a little bit more personalized. I preached last year away in the south of Ireland with an Irish friend of mine. He'd never seen the chart before and it fascinated him more than it fascinated the audience. And they used to sometimes even put names on these little people who were walking down the broad road and he would say, look at you, sir. You're carrying your load of sin and carrying your fear and carrying your loneliness and the very suitcases of your fear and sin is going to burden you down and take you down to hell. Fearfulness is one of the reasons that people are being carried downward on the road to hell. And then we talked last night about the open door and the narrow way. And that lovely golden shining path that's painted on the chart, where does it go? It goes to heaven. That's what we sung about tonight. There is a door stands open wide. That's one of the other changes on this chart, because the old chart, for some reason, they painted the door as if it was closing. Now, I understand what the person who painted the chart probably meant, because in this day, 20 centuries from Pentecost, the door of grace must be soon to close. But it is not a closing door. It's a wide open door. But when the Lord Jesus comes and takes the church away, we'll talk about that some night, because that's on the chart, the rapture. When he comes and takes the church away, the door will be fast closed for every single person who has been listening to and refusing the gospel. But the hymn's right. And this new chart is right, because tonight the door is open wide. You know what that means? It doesn't mean that the biggest sinner can get in. It probably does mean that. It means that every single sinner in the world tonight, if they heard the gospel and believed it, they could all get in the door at the same time. There wouldn't be a crash. Thousands of sinners could believe at once. And you know what? They would all be inside the door on the way to heaven in an instant. Peter preached the day the church was born in Acts chapter 2 in Jerusalem at Pentecost, and 3,000 people, each person didn't know that the other one was believing. And the Holy Spirit made the count, not the apostles. And about 3,000 souls were saved at once, and they all stepped inside the narrow door at the same time. John chapter 10 tonight. I'm going to preach not about the two paths. I'm going to preach, well, if you want to pee, I'm going to preach about the portal. That was in our hymn, wasn't it? That's just an old-fashioned word for a door, any kind of door. A door that swings open wide, that's opened by a porter. You see, we say if we go to stay in a hotel that the porter is the person that carries your luggage in the door. Not really. The porter was the person who opened the door and let you in or out. We're going to read in John chapter 10 and verse number 7. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, truly, truly. This word actually means amen. You know, whenever we pray, you say, some people do it out loud and some people do it inside themselves. When we pray, you say amen at the end. Because you have to hear what I am praying before you decide that you want to agree and before you decide it's right. But when God says something, he says amen at the start, because it can't be wrong. It is the word of God. And it can't be altered and it can't be changed. And so when God is making a most important statement, and it only happens in John's writings, so many times God actually says, amen, amen. It's like in Spanish, in those strange languages. You see, in English, we put a little exclamation mark at the end. But some other languages, they put one at the start as well. So that before the exclamation begins, we know this is a very, very important statement. Listen well. This is like a double exclamation mark coming at the beginning of the sentence. Jesus said, listen well. Verily, verily, truly, truly, amen, amen. It can't be wrong. I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. Who's the they? The sheep. That they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly, life in all its fullness. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd is laying down his life for the sheep. That's our reading with God's blessing. I want you to think about what I've read tonight, because you should think about what you hear in the gospel meeting. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. There are two strange things in that little sentence, and I want you to think about it. I am the door of the sheep. Not so much the I am, because we understand in the context the I am is the Lord Jesus. John is not only the gospel of the double verilies, John is the gospel of the I ams. And there's a lovely list of I ams that Jesus tells us that he is in John's Gospel. This is not the first one, this is the third one, but we're not talking about that tonight. But two strange things in the verse that I read when you think about it. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. You see, if we think about it from a human point of view, from our point of view, first of all, we really should be thinking that he should have said, there is a door. Or even if he had said, I am the opener of the door. But he didn't say that. He said, I am the door. The other strange thing in the passage is, in the sentence is, that Jesus could have said, I am the door of the sheepfold. Because that's really what he was talking about. But he didn't say that. He said, I am the door of the sheep. And so we need to explain why he did not say there is a door. That's what we would say. If we met someone outside in one road and they said, how do you get into the gospel hall? I'd love to hear the gospel. That'd be great, wouldn't it? We would say to them, you know what, there is a door. And it will be open before 7 o'clock. And if you're worried about coming inside and being locked inside the building, you know what, even if there was a difficulty or a problem or an emergency, there is a door and there is a door and there is a door. And when you go downstairs, there's more doors. I'll tell you this, there's about 6 different ways to get out and come in. But we wouldn't stand outside on the street and say, I am the door. No. And we would say, this is the door of the building. This is the door of the hall. We wouldn't really say, this is the door of the people. We would say, no, that's all mixed up. It is the door for the people. But Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. So I want to think, first of all, that Jesus said, because he did, the door is a person. That's really what it means. That's why when you look at the chart, the cross has been drawn on the door. Then maybe some of you have been looking at the chart and you've been wondering, why is the cross on the door? Was the cross not on the hill? Was the cross not on Golgotha? Were there not 3 crosses? But the truth is, those of us who are saved tonight, and we've understood and learned a little bit more about the Word of God on our journey home to heaven, we realize that when Jesus gave his life and said, finished on the cross, he opened a way to heaven. He himself became the door. He himself is the access. He himself is the way. He did not make a way, he became the way. He did not open a door, he is the door. And he also says, I am the door of the sheep. The door is not just a person. The door also speaks about protection. I remember speaking on this subject way down in the city of Cape Town many years ago. There's not too many sheep in Cape Town. It's a very, very big city, larger than Vancouver, about maybe 6 million people living there. And I would say you could live in Cape Town for a long time and not see any sheep. And so I was explaining to them that really the sheep in the illustration are people. And then I was explaining about the protection that is the door. Because a door speaks of protection. Quite often in the illustrations in the Bible, it's not actually the door that's in the picture, it's the entrance. You remember the story you learned in Sunday school way back in Exodus chapter number 12, whenever the children of Israel, on the night that God brought them out, and they're painting a wonderful picture of the Passover, and God said to them, put the blood on the door. He didn't, you know. There wasn't any blood in the door in the land of Goshen. In fact, the door is not even mentioned. The blood was on the entrance, round about. Yes, there probably were doors on their houses, but the blood wasn't on the door, the blood was on the entrance. All the way round, probably all 4 sides. Because you see, the judgment that was coming that night at midnight could not be kept out by the door. It would not have mattered whether the door was open or closed, because God's judgment was coming in. The only thing that would shelter the people in the house from God's judgment was the blood that God had placed between himself and his judgment and the people who were sheltering behind the blood. That's important, isn't it? And so we see that the door is a protection. I remember illustrating this down in the city of Cape Town, away down in some of those township suburbs. And there was one or two strangers there. They'd never been in a gospel meeting before. You could kind of tell by their attitude and their appearance. And I said, "Excuse me, sir, I want to make an offer." I said, "You know what? Some of the people in Africa have got lovely carved doors. They put elephants and giraffes and lovely wooden carvings right in the panels of the door." I said, "If some of you have got a carved door on the front of your house, I'd like to come and buy it. I'll come to your house after the meeting." I said, "I'll give you $1,000 for your door." Oh, I tell you this, you could see people listening. You could see people waking up and sitting up and counting all the numbers, you know. "I'm going to get $1,000. Is this guy serious? Is he crazy? He's going to give me $1,000 and he's going to come tonight after the meeting. I'll screw up my front door and I'll give it to him." I said, "There's only one catch. I'll come with my friend and I'll come with a van and I'll come with a screwdriver." And I said, "I'll take your door away at 9:30 tonight and I'll give you $1,000 in cash." I said, "There always is a catch. An offer's never as free as it sounds." I said, "There's only one condition. Don't put any other door in its place." I tell you this, then you could see their minds working. And down in those kind of places, and I won't describe them to you sitting here in Kamloops, I'll tell you this, you wouldn't go to bed at night unless your door was triple locked. And maybe even a great big crude steel bar that you had made yourself in brackets on the wall put behind the door in case someone tried to break it in the night, that you had some steel between you and the door. And you see, a door that was taken away and not replaced, it wouldn't matter how much money you got for it, nobody would go to bed because there was no protection. You know, in the story that we have read here in John chapter 10, mind you, the illustration that Jesus is giving is not so very different. Because in those days, and he was probably preaching outside on the hillside, and the people who were listening to him preaching could probably see a sheepfold in the distance made out of stone. And the walls were tall enough that the wolves and the dogs and even the thieves couldn't easily climb over the top and get inside. And all the sheep during the day in the daylight, they went to the feeding trough and the well. And they wandered around in the fields and the shepherds watched them and talked together. But then evening time came and the sheep were all brought inside the sheepfold. And the strange thing about the sheepfolds in Judea back in those days was, even though they were built of stone, they looked like little tiny forts and castles, you know what? There actually wasn't any door in the entrance. You would say, well, who's going to keep the sheep in? And when it comes to the doorway, who's going to keep the wolf and the wild dog out? I suppose they had a little kind of rota, because the door was really only big enough for one. And when it was your turn, if you were a shepherd, then you couldn't go to bed and you couldn't go to sleep. You took your weapon, if you had one, and your staff. And you wrapped your cloak around yourself and you sat down right in the doorway. You see, you weren't just on security duty. No, you became the door. The door was closed because you were there. The sheep you knew and the sheep understood your protection, and the sheep would not try to come out past you in the darkness. But if a thief came, or a robber came, or a wolf came, or a bear came, or a lion came, like in the story of David, they could not get the sheep because the shepherd was the door, and the shepherd would give his life for the sheep. You see, the people that Jesus was preaching to, they understood the illustration perfectly without needing it explained. He said, "I am the good shepherd. I am the door. And when the danger comes, the good shepherd will give his life because they're his sheep. He's not getting paid to look after them. He's not a hired person. When the danger comes, the hired person will run away. He'll lose his wages and keep his life. But Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. Because when the danger comes, and when the enemy comes, and when Satan comes, and when God's judgment comes, Jesus said, I'm willing. Ask the good shepherd, who is the door, to give his life for the sheep. Isn't that wonderful? Dear unsaved one in the room tonight, it doesn't matter how young you are or how old, we're pointing you tonight to an open door, and the open door is the Lord Jesus. The door is marked in blood, but it's not the blood of the Lamb, it's the blood of Jesus Christ himself. He was nailed to a cross, and when he said finished, he opened the door to heaven, and he opened the door for all those who will trust in him. I love it that God calls us sheep. In the world today, the politicians, they say some things that are not very kind. They talk about sheeple. Have you heard that word? It means people who behave like sheep. They're easily influenced. They swallow the fake news and they don't question it. They just behave like sheep. You can feed them anything and tell them anything and take them anywhere, and they don't think, and they've no discernment. They're like sheep. Mind you, sheep in the Bible were not like that. Neither are real sheep. Real sheep, even out there in the animal world, you know what? They're easily offended. And they're easily bruised. And they're easily hurt. And they're easily poisoned. And they're easily frightened. And they need to have a tremendous amount of care and love shown to them by the shepherd. God didn't pick sheep by accident when he called us sheep. It's actually a strange thing, because Israel in the Old Testament, God called them his sheep. And so when we come to the end of the Old Testament, before we start the new, God already has used up sheep as an illustration of his people in the Old Testament. Actually, the Jews would have preferred that Jesus had called us dogs. They'd have said, we're God's sheep. You're just Gentiles. You're the dogs. And yet, when we go through the parables in the Bible, we learn this, that even though we were dogs, in the outside place and no claim on God's covenant and no claim on the inside, Jesus still said, they're my sheep. They must be found. They must be paid for. They must be bought. They must be purchased. And they must be brought inside the safety of the fold. The person I am. The protection. The door. The provision through me. The potential. Oh, I love this before I finish. The potential, if any man. That doesn't mean male person. It doesn't mean older person. And thank God it doesn't mean Jewish person. It means any person. It's the word for mankind, and so often in the gospel already this week, both of us have been stressing that. Because John is the gospel of the world, and John is the gospel of God's love, and John is the gospel of God's love for the world. And there is no selectiveness in the gospel. And there is no restriction in the gospel. And there is no limitation in the gospel. And the word of God goes forth. It is the word of the Lord Jesus. He says, if any person, Muslim, Catholic, pagan, agnostic, heathen, atheist, old, sick, dying, in prison, young, child, anyone. If any person enter in, I tell you, dear soul, that's God's priority. Because even on the chart there is a closed door. And I told you last night, and I'm telling you again tonight, and we'll tell you every night, there's no guarantee of salvation tomorrow. Doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how old. The gospel is now. And the gospel is for today. God's promise. He shall be saved. Oh, you say, saved from the robbers? No, more than that. Oh, you say, safe from the wolves, no more than that. Safe from the devil, no more than that. Safe from God's judgment. Safe from your sin. Safe from hell and the lake of fire. Because every single person, young or old, that trusts in the message of the gospel and the word of the Lord Jesus Christ and by faith enters inside and listens to the call of the good shepherd. He has proved himself, you know. He was wounded because he gave his life for the sheep. And he still today has in his hands the wounds of Calvary. And if we could see the hands of the Lord Jesus tonight, they're still got nail wounds. And he's still searching on the mountains for sheep. And he's looking here in Kamloops even tonight for a sheep, even for a lamb, to come and trust in him. The permanence of God's provision, he shall go in and out. There's no limitation in the gospel. You know, I've met a lot of people, and you know what? They don't want to be saved because they say salvation is not attractive. Once you get saved, you'll have a long face. You'll not be able to enjoy the things of the world. You can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do the other. I'll tell you this. Once you get saved, you don't want to do those things. You want to go where Christians go. You want to do what Christians do. You want to meet with the Lord's people. I'll tell you this, I've traveled over half the world. There's no people like God's people. And there's no people like the Christians. And I can knock on so many doors, and you know what? They open the door and they say, oh no, it's him again. They say, no, Dave, you're welcome. Please come in. Because we're part of the family of God and part of the body of Christ. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd has given his life for the sheep. I am the door by me. If any boy or any girl or any older one enters in by faith, he shall be saved. He shall be safe. He shall have the fellowship and companionship of the Lord Jesus, not only for time, but forever, and shall go in and out and find pasture. May God bless his word to your hearts.